Hurkun oku trap sons trap sons trap sons trap sons trap don't sons trap don't sons trap Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дур булаа Дааш дуутан дур булаа мөрөө та
Welcome to the brand new MMA Roasted Podcast. It's a great show, live from Arizona. Once again, we're giving you these in-depth interviews. I got my girl, well, not my girl, but my girl and like the I love this person. Lauren Murphy is here with her boyfriend, husband. I never know. Sometimes like it's like every other fighter either has like they never like, oh, we're together 15 years, but it's my boyfriend.
We're still happy, so nobody thinks that we're actually married.
Yeah. Right. But then I'll see Carla Esparza and she'll, every time I see her, she's married or something. Like yeah. she missed on like a first date or something. So but I'm happy for you guys. I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, people, marijuana is not legal in California, but no one wants to go to a dispensary. Trust me, go to a dispensary, it's a trek. You got to go out. Maybe you want weed at 2 o'clock in the morning, 1 o'clock in the morning. Maybe you don't want to be seen at the dispensary. Maybe you're going to get robbed the other way. Who knows? There's some shady places.
You don't have a license.
Right.
To get to the dispensary.
Yeah, right. There you go. Bam. Look at that. That's even a way better idea. Okay, so speedweed.com. Everything from edibles, flower, vapes, you need it. Best marijuana, CBD, CBD oil, which I think now is legal for fighters now,
it
CBD.
Yeah.
Although I wouldn't chance it if I were you guys, but CBD, definitely check it out. Go to speedweed.com and order it. Use the code ROASTED for $10 off any order of $100 or more. We got Laura Murphy. I want to thank you for coming to my show on Thursday night. It was great seeing you and Crouch. That was awesome.
Shit, thanks for having us. That's always a blast, though.
Yeah, such an awesome show.
I love seeing you guys laugh. I know I made a couple jokes at your expense.
That's okay. That's totally fine.
Part of the experience. Yeah. That's why you go.
That you've taken many shots to the face and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm used to it. It's no big deal.
Yes. So thank you. And it was good seeing you, Joe. And then you actually invited me last night to go yesterday morning, which was early for me. It's 12:30, but I go watch sparring at the lab, and man, I've seen people spar before. You know, I used to go to Wild Card Gym, but it was like two people sparring, and everyone just kind of watches.
Right.
Man, there was like 30. It was like a fight club. It was just everyone just fighting each other, and people going hard. I mean, I watched Johnny Case. He was landing some like serious right hands where I'm like, wow, that I'm surprised that dude didn't go down.
We only do it once a week because it's hard on the body. It's kind of like a car crash. But like Dana White, if he could see the fights we've had in our gym, like he would be out of money giving out bonuses now. So
yeah,
like. Fantastic fights in the gym, way better than I've ever paid for to watch on paper.
Yeah,
I mean, and Ben Henderson. I mean, you talk about a guy. You always hear like legendary people go, "Oh, Ben Henderson spars so hard." And you know, people. I always say I rolled my eyes. I'm like, yeah, everyone spars hard. But then when I actually saw Ben Henderson, when he's not sparring, he's like doing sprints and jumping jacks
and playing with his kids.
Yeah. Then he's in the cage going. I mean, just 100%. And then his wife is holding the baby outside the cage, giving him instructions, yelling Khabib. I don't know what that means, but I don't know what Khabib means, but it seems to have some, everyone was yelling Khabib.
Like, please get hurt and pull out of your next fight.
Oh, yeah, right. Yes, exactly. You're right. He said, don't make weight.
Pretty unique code word.
But I didn't even know they were saying, she was saying Khabib. I thought she's holding her baby and he was talking to his wife and I thought he was like telling her what baby formula to use or something while he was fighting. And then, man.
It wouldn't even shock me. He might have been.
Yeah,
like, he could have been
totally
doing
been
that.
What was going on.
Ben's a freak of an athlete. Like, I've never met a freak athlete until I met Benson Henderson.
Yeah, he's a nice guy. Just a really, really kind guy. But that gym, man, I mean, you had everyone from Rob Emerson, who I remember when he knocked out Manny Gambarian in 12 seconds, to Johnny Case, to the new kid, Sean O'Malley, who I was watching is doing that same bizarre Conor McGregor stance in the corner.
He's always done it,
His whole time there, that's Sean.
It's not an act. Yeah, that's him.
I mean, I was watching, and then there was the kid who's fighting for the LFA next week, the Wolf.
Yeah, Bobby Wolf.
Wolf and Jake the Snake was there, and it was really cool to watch. I was like, man, this is a tough fucking job. I was like, I can't believe, and there were no egos. Right. Nobody was getting mad.
I think that's right. The thing that like most of us are probably the most proud of. Yeah, it's a bunch of super accomplished, very tough, high-level athletes, but it's a shitload of good people, man.
Yeah.
We have a really good team dynamic
the
there.
Team at the lab is awesome. It's just all really good people. You could leave $100 sitting on the shelf in there at the beginning of practice, and at the end of practice, you know it's still going to be there. Like, you can bring your kids in, and you know that nobody's, you know, your kids aren't going to leave scarred for life walking out of
our gym.
God. It's going to be a good welcoming place for you, for your family, and we work hard, we train hard, we spar hard, and it's a lot of fun.
No, it was so much fun. And then I was talking to Ben afterwards, and I was asking him baby advice. I'm not going to say why, but I was asking him baby advice, and he's giving me he's like, oh man, he's like trust me, he was like, you get sleep now because you're going to get no sleep. He's like, it's so hard to put my baby to sleep. And I wanted to say, well, have him watch your fights. I was thinking about, like, that was so in my head. But then I'm like, you know what? He may kick me out of the gym if I say that. Like, so I was like, well, have him watch Ben Askren fights. And he's like, he kind of laughed. He laughed, but I'm like, oh, man, it would have been better if I had him watch your fights. But I was like,
He still got
gloves now. He just got done with sparring, and I wasn't sure how he would take it, you know?
Yeah, Joe has, like, a gauge for Ben because, like, sparring with Ben is hard. I have sparred with him. I do spar with him, and he goes super light with me. But, like, it depends how squinty he is. So if his eyes are really squinted close together, then you know it's not a good day to spar with Ben. You want to just try and skip that round if you can. And if his eyes look really relaxed and his eyebrows are kind of up, that's a great day to go spar with Ben. And, like, maybe you should try some new things with him, like practice your kicks or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, he was – I was floored. You know what? I actually left yesterday thinking, like, how good is Michael Chandler? Because I saw how good Ben Henderson is. And not that Chandler was a better fighter than you know, Henderson, but he was in that night. And I'm like, man, I have such a new respect for, like, how hard you guys train and how good you are. Because I was like, Ben Henderson. And it was crazy watching, like, you know, Johnny Case, who's had 30 MMA fights, and Joe was giving me the play-by-play of who was who. And he's like, oh, yeah, this guy's got his first amateur fight, and he wants to go pro, or, you know. And I'm like, and they're going 100% against each other. It's not like he's taking it easy. Because I asked him, like, oh, is he kind of taking it? Like, no, man. He's like, fuck it. Which is cool to see. Yeah. I mean, it was really, really fun to watch. And then last night I had shows, and so on Friday night, these high school kids showed up. Like, 15, like six kids that were, like, 15, and I could tell one of them was being a dick right away. He was like, huh, like laughing when he wasn't supposed to laugh. So I'm like, all right. And then he was kind of with this, there was like this group of women there that were, the one of them was like, that's my son, right? So then I was just like, dude, if I wasn't married, I would totally bang your mom tonight. And then I would have her make us breakfast tomorrow. And then I would beat you in all your video games. And then next thing I know, like, all his friends were dying laughing, and I just started killing all of them. I'm like, I know it's hard being a virgin and being part of the No Pussy Posse, because he kept trying to get me. And then next thing I know, they all added me on Instagram, and they came back the next night. So now I have like a crew of high school kids, and they
a
all have like,
oh yes.
Yeah, these kids all have like 40,000 followers. Oh, who the fuck are these kids? I don't know what they do.
Dude, yeah, some of the girls that come into the gym, they have like no fights yet, and they'll have like 15,000 followers on Instagram.
I was like, who are these people? I'm hashtagging everything, like hashtagging Kim Kardashian or Hawaiian Missile to get fucking people to watch me. And this kid has 50,000 followers. So I wasn't supposed to be here this week. I was supposed to be here in April, but Fortune Femster canceled. And Fortune Femster is this like very, very good comic, but she's a lesbian, and she's heavy, and she was on Chelsea a lot, and she's on other shows. But she has a very distinct following, right? Okay. So, of course, yesterday these two women in the front are just not laughing at anything. And I'm like, oh, are you girls lesbians? Like, yes. I'm like, what's the matter? Like, where's Fortune? And so I'm like, well, okay, at least I'm happy that that's why you're angry, because I'd be pretty pissed too if I went to go see, like, you know, Megadeth and the Indigo Girls came out or something. So I understand. And then, but they stayed the whole show. And then there was a girl from like China there, and I did a joke, and I was like, I was fingering a Chinese girl, and I pulled out a Fortune, but not Fortune Femster. And then, like, So then the next night, the next 2 hours later, there's two gay guys in the exact same seats, and I'm like, what's the matter? Like, where's Fortune? I'm like, all right, shit. You know, like, I'm like, listen, it's not my fault.
Exactly.
But they saved the whole show. But then one guy kept getting drunk, and he was like, I was like, what's the matter? He's like, you're white. And I'm like, all right, listen, buddy. You know, we're all equal here. Yeah. Everyone gets fucked with, whether you're gay or a virgin. I point to those kids or this or that. Let's just all have fun, and then we could all get past. And then everyone, and they were actually cool, but fuck, you talk
That's
about
gotta
like,
gotta be so
couple
hard.
Of rough chairs there. Huh?
Yeah, it's gotta be hard. When, like, it's hard enough to do comedy, and but then people want to see a lesbian comic that is in their demographic, right. And then they that's why they booked the host to this black gay guy, and then they booked this feminist feature, and then me.
Like, you're just roasting
so
everything.
I'm just setting people up. It's fucking straight male, horny. I was just like, yeah.
I don't understand though. If you go to a comedy show though, you want to go to laugh and have a good time. So I don't understand why some fucker would sit there and like try to not have a good time.
Or you realize the person you see is not coming out.
Yeah.
Like if I have a son, I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go see DMX and Michael Bolton walks out, right?
You're like,
at like two, I'm not gonna go, well, you know, maybe he'll switch to rap on the third song. You know?
Probably not.
Yeah.
That's
hilarious. So
anyway. It's a lot with fights too though, you know? Like fights get booked and fighters pull out and like even main event status.
Yeah.
You got the tickets and...
And you don't get mad at the guy who filled in. Oh, boo! Yeah. I wanted to go.
Fuck this guy!
Yeah,
pissed off at Romero because Whitaker got hurt.
Right, like, right. Yeah. 1,000%. 1,000%.
That's totally true. And now it's like up to us: do we want to buy the pay per view or not? Like, yes, I am probably still going to buy the pay per view.
Oh yeah, right. Of course. And then after the show, this like tall, beautiful woman was like came up to me. She's like, "Oh, you're so funny." I'm like, "Oh, thanks." She's like, "I live down the block. If you want to come over." I'm like, this never happens
like,
when I'm
where
fucking...
Where were you when I was single?
Never, never. It never fucking happened.
Oh, my God.
And then, of course, like, and I'm on like an all-time high. Because people say I like being married. I love being married. But there are times where it checks you. Like, I get off stage. I have a great set. I feel like $1 million. This chick wants to fuck. And then I get a text. Your dog peed on the carpet. Yeah. You know, like this is not... I walked him an hour ago. Yeah. And I'm like, yep, this is back to reality.
This is my life now.
Yeah. And then I'm like, I'm sorry. You know, let's get rid of him. I'm like, what do you want me to do? I love this dog. He's old. Dogs pee.
Oh,
you know, it's
yeah.
just
We're shit. Kind of dealing with the same thing.
He's probably... He's dying. He is dying.
Oh.
Couple of his last weeks for sure, but man, I've been thinking that for months now, you know, and he just keeps on pulling through.
He's a tough
and
motherfucker, yeah, man. That's the toughest son of a bitch on four legs.
Yeah,
that dog is like
he's coming up on 13. He's a Doberman. I've had him since he was a pup. He's my best friend, absolutely.
It's the worst. It's the worst. I mean, the only good thing is that you will be able to get a dog that will love you as much. That's the one thing. Like, if like your girlfriend or your wife passes away and you're like, I'm never going to meet someone like this. Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot of dogs at the pound who
are happy to see you every time you walk in.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, exactly.
That's true, yeah.
So let's talk about you, Lauren. Congrats on your big win.
Thanks, man.
That was huge.
It was huge for me. I was just jacked up to get back in the win column.
I was so happy for you, and you know, it's funny, like, I had, who'd I have? I had somebody on the podcast that was like, I don't know who's going to be Barbara Honcheck. Like, no one's going to be Barbara Honcheck. No. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I'm like, I don't know. Laura Murphy's. And so we were saying that it was going to be you two in the finals. And I thought it was going to be you that was going to win the whole thing, which I still think you were the best person in that house.
Thanks, man.
But, I mean, that's a big win.
It is. It was. And Big John McCarthy reffed our fight, which I was so happy about because he's not reffing anymore. He retired from being a referee. So
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, wow. I was glad to like get in on that before he left. But he told us in the back, he said, I thought this was going to be the fight for the finals.
Yeah.
Even he thought he was going to be reffing that in the finals. And I thought it would be me and Barb in the finals. And so when we were in the house and we were on the same side of the bracket, I was so fucking bummed about that because it meant that we were going to have to fight before the finals. And then, of course, I had lost in the first round anyway, and then she ended up losing to the same girl, so it all got fucked up. But like,
yeah.
But yeah, to fight someone like Barb, to me, it was really an honor, and just it was a good attitude check for me too. So, like,
how worried were you though? Because I know some of your fights, like your nickname is Lucky,
yeah.
And I'm like, is that ironic? Because Lucky.
I am super lucky. Like, I'll tell you so many stories, like of of so many times that I should have been like dead or in serious trouble or not here, like for whatever reason. And here I am, like I have this great life and like I'm, you know, trouble.
Yes, but when it comes to split decisions.
Yeah, that, but like in MMA, no, I haven't been very lucky.
Yeah.
I think whatever, like the powers that be was like somewhere, somebody was like, okay, you have a great fucking husband. You have a great family. Like you are way further in life than you ever should have been. You have it set up. That's it. You've used up all your fucking luck. It's run out. Like everything else that you need it for. Sorry. And yeah, it's fine. I'm totally fine. If I never win another MMA fight, like I still have a fucking awesome life. So.
But going into that third round, though, were you like, I mean, Joe, you're in her corner. Are you telling her, let's,
yeah,
come
Lauren,
on.
Lauren actually has a habit of doing that, of asking after every round, like, did I win that round? What, like, am I winning?
Yeah. Winning. Fight, you know? Fucking Crouch was like so pissed at me. Our head coach, John Crouch, was like, it doesn't matter who's winning, just fight. And I was like, no, tell me who's winning. And he wouldn't even answer me. He just like shook his head and walked out of the cage. Like he wouldn't even talk to me about it. And so I was
this
like,
this is not like a first time.
Yeah, this happens in a lot of fights. And so I was like, it's 1-1. And I don't know. I kind of just knew in my heart that I could win that fight. And I knew if I could get a takedown or stay on top, like I had a really good chance of winning. So I don't know. I was surprised that Barb didn't try to wrestle more. And I think if she had, that maybe she would have, the fight would have been, you know, maybe more up in the air. But
I think you wanted it more. I think that was a case of like, you know, who wants it more? You know, yeah. You're both very talented, but I do think that all that shit that you've been dealing with in the house and this and that and everything just was like, I was really proud of you because you saw it. You saw it in your eye. And you look at it in Barbara's eye, and Barbara's like, I don't know. I wouldn't say Barbara's fighting for the wrong reasons, but it did seem like Barbara's really good at fighting.
Right.
And she's good at, and she's like, okay, I'm good at this. But she took 3 years off as the champ. That's strange. You know, a lot of people wouldn't do that. But it's not about Barbara. It's about you. So I was super, super happy for you. Now, you, like you said, you had a tough life. What was it like? You grew up in Alaska.
Yeah, yeah.
You said you were daddy's girl?
I was, yeah, when I was growing up. And my dad died when I was 11, so he was killed in a plane crash. And it was hard. Obviously, it was hard. It's going to be hard for anybody, you know, if your fucking dad passes away. But
was it like a solo plane? Was he a...
Yeah, he was getting his pilot's license. Like, he was just an adventure enthusiast, and getting his pilot's license was something that he had always dreamed of, so... He was training for that, and it was his first flight out on his own. Yeah, and the weather was really bad. So probably, like, the flight school that let him fly should not have let him fly that day because it was just too sketch. And in Alaska, it's really not uncommon for bush pilots to crash. And I think Alaska actually has like the highest rate of like single plane mortality. I don't know what the term is, but it happens a lot in Alaska. So anyway, he flew into a mountain and
fuck. Yeah, that's insane.
It was, and my sister came in. I can remember it pretty clear. My sister is 8 years older than me, and we have different dads actually. And so she came into my room that day, and she was like, you know, I have to tell you something. You know, your dad is missing. He was reported missing before they found his body, and she was like, he never checked into he was into a town called Talkeetna. He never checked in on his flight, and so they're out there looking for him now. And like, I just knew when she told me that, like, even at 11 years old, I was like, fuck, he's probably dead. And then later on that night at like 1 a.m, they found his body, and I think my sister woke me up. My sister was the one to like break all the news to me.
Oh, I couldn't imagine. That's got
to
be like the
item. So weird. Like, the next day we were supposed to go to school. It was a Sunday when he died, and the next day was Monday. And I remember like calling my friend the next morning and being like, my dad died last night. And like, I wasn't even crying. I was just like, it was such a weird feeling. And my friend was like, oh my God. Like,
well, you're 11. It's sort of like
11. And she's like, I have to go to school. You okay? And I was like, I guess. And then my mom took us to the mall. Like, she was like, we're going to go do something. Like, she just wanted to get us out of the house, and she was like, we're going to go to the mall. And so we were just walking around the fucking mall that day. Like, no, I didn't know, like, I don't even know how to describe it.
Let's go on airplane rides.
Yeah, you're just like fucking, like, I don't even understand.
That's horrible.
So.
That's like the.
It was a super weird.
Now, you and your mom close?
No, my mom drank a ton when I was growing up. She was a really bad alcoholic. And so, like, I always wanted to, like, live with my dad full time because
they were divorced?
Yeah, they divorced when I was, like, really little. And then they both remarried. And My dad's house was so fucking normal and cool. It was like Leave It to Beaver. Like to me, it was like you go to dad's house and the sun is shining and like kids are riding their bikes outside and I don't know. It was just fucking nice. And then like my mom was the complete opposite. Like we literally lived on a dirt road out in the middle of nowhere. Like she drank a lot. Like we couldn't ever leave. We didn't live close to anywhere. So we would go to school. We would take this like 30-minute bus ride home from school and then walk up this like dirt hill to our house and just be stuck there.
Because after that, you had to go live with your mom full time. And before that, it was your dad full time.
No, I was with my dad just like on the weekends. During the summer.
Now, were you a happy kid? Did you play sports? Were you popular? Did you have boyfriends?
Nope, none of that. See, I actually never played a sport till I got into MMA.
So you were this like angry, tough girl?
Yeah, kind of. I mean,
do you have friends?
Yeah, I had some friends. Like I had some friends, and then after my dad died, I was kind of weird. Like I think I was just kind of traumatized. Of course,
I would assume.
I remember doing like weird stuff. Like I didn't know how to dress myself really. So like in sixth and seventh grade, right after he died, I would wear like my pajamas to school. I was always dirty. I didn't know how to talk to kids. It seemed like every time I opened my mouth, it was something fucking weird. You know, it's just that kid that nobody.
But did you have friends in Alaska? Like,
I had a couple. I mean, the other weird kids, we all hung out.
did you shower? Were you like a smelly kid? Like,
I don't think I ever smelled, but I would wear dirty clothes. I didn't know how to do my own laundry. Like just, I didn't eat very well.
Was there a school play you were in? Or?
No, fuck no, man. I just went to school. I got made fun of, and then I would fucking go home, and like my mom would drink, and I would sit at home.
Why would they make fun of you and be like, you have cooties? Or?
No, like the really pretty girls were all wearing makeup and getting boyfriends and like listening to the cool music.
And you had
like,
lice?
I just, if I had lice, I never found out about it.
But I had lice. It was the worst. All of a sudden, they randomly send kids home, and everyone kind of knows why, but they don't even tell you. Like, you go to the school nurse, and then all of a sudden you're missing for like 2 days.
Right. I think in Alaska, it's like too cold for lice.
They should probably just check their shit out.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that was the worst.
Well, in like junior high, I started making some more friends. And then in high school, I started doing drugs. And I started hanging out with all the other kids that did drugs. And that was like my place.
Okay, so you get to high school. You get good grades or shitty grades?
I did. I was a really smart kid for a long time. I'm not anymore, so I'm not bragging.
You seem pretty smart.
I used to be pretty smart. And that was also uncool, by the way. It's not cool to be smart when you're a kid. And so that was a big point against me because I was nerdy. I liked to read and like I always had the fucking answer. You know, I was one of those kids. And then in high school, I don't know, I started doing drugs and that was like my first
high school. So you're freshman, sophomore, now all of a sudden marijuana, right?
Marijuana, and then marijuana turned into cocaine, turned into ecstasy, like any kind of hallucinogen that we
And that's all in high school.
To. Oh yeah, this is like when I was 15.
But you know, all the times the cool kids did drugs, I hate to say it, but all of a sudden like those were the popular kids. Did you all of a sudden become one of the cool kids because you had drugs?
Exactly. And like I could hold my own. Like this, I was good at doing drugs, or at least I thought I was. I was better than those fuckers.
So you were the girl at the party like in like a weird room by herself with like two kids.
No, I was the girl that had the drugs and like, you know what I mean? And I was the girl that knew all the older people now because I was getting the drugs from somewhere and like, I was too cool for school now. Like I didn't do any schoolwork. I was too cool for that. And like,
were you going to raves? Were there rave?
I went to raves when I was older, when I was like 17.
So you were wearing like Jenko jeans or like those, like, do you have glow sticks?
Yep. Glow sticks. I had a big pair of butterfly wings that I would wear.
No way.
Oh yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I always freak out when I hear this stuff.
Did you wear like the like crazy, like blue, yellow, orange?
I didn't, but I wasn't against it.
Like eyeliner?
I would like dress up like I would have like all white on and then I'd wear big butterfly wings. We'd go to raves and like take a bunch of ecstasy and dance. And like,
so you also had boyfriends at that point.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So, cause you, I mean, you're, now you're hot, you're pretty girl.
Like, thanks.
Are you like putting out or in high school? Are you having sex?
Yeah, I got pregnant when I was like 17.
17.
So,
by who?
My kid's dad.
Okay. So this was your boyfriend at the time?
Yeah. And like, we were, I guess, as serious as you could get. I mean, we dated for like a whole month before I got pregnant.
But before him, were you like, hey, Lauren gives out blowjobs for ecstasy kind of thing? Or like,
no, I wasn't super slutty. Usually I would date somebody for like 6 months.
Okay. So you still had ethics. You still had some morals?
I had some kind of morals. Yeah. Okay. I had my own standards I was going by. Like,
all right. So you didn't just...
All completely made up.
Okay. Yeah. So
random.
So your standards were like, don't go to school.
Yeah.
Don't do your homework. But... But your vagina, it takes a while to get in there.
Right, yeah. Once you get in there, we're staying together. Like, I'm going to fight to stay in this relationship.
Okay, and then now the boyfriend, was he a nice guy? Was he cool?
He was really funny. Like, Max's dad is super hysterical, and he always kind of has been.
Good looking guy or no?
He used to be. He's not anymore. he used to be. When we were in high school, I thought he was. He had really long curly hair, and he was a big stoner. And for some reason, he was popular, and he was older than me. And so I don't know.
How much older?
2 years. Like, if I was a freshman and he was a junior, that was super hot. Yeah.
And you were like the crazy, cool drug chick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, I don't know. The other way around, cool, you're a huge loser if you're the junior banging the.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. Right.
But it was okay because I had all the drugs.
Now, were you selling the drugs? You making any money on this?
I never made a lot of money because I would do the drugs while I was selling them. So there wasn't much of a. All the profit was
going
in my nose.
Like Biggie said, don't get high if you're on supply.
Yeah, I was always doing the. Yeah, okay. So but I never made a lot of money, but I started small. I started selling cigarettes at school, like when I was like 14.
Wow!
So like
start somewhere.
Yeah, I had a boyfriend that would go get cartons of cigarettes, and then I would sell packs of cigarettes at the school, and I remember making a bunch of money. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I started selling weed. And I like to smoke weed, so I would smoke all the extra weed that I had. But I was like, well, I'm breaking even, so this is good. And then I tried to sell cocaine, and that did not work.
And this is while you're in high school.
I was in high school. Yeah, I did my freshman and sophomore year, and then I dropped out my junior year.
Dropped out of high school.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Now, your mom at the time, is she just rolling around on the floor drunk?
Mom got sober when I was a freshman, I think. Or maybe she got sober when I was 13. But then she was like so busy being sober that she was always gone. So
kind
like,
of just high-fived and switched roles.
Yeah, we were just like, she was like, do your thing. She was going to meetings and she suddenly had all these new friends. And I was honestly really happy for her. I was just glad my mom wasn't drunk anymore. And she would go to meetings and her life changed a lot. She really became like a better person. She was still like a child in her mind, kind of.
Yeah.
But it was cool to see her get sober. And then like later on when I needed help, I did what she did. Like she set a really good example for me, and my sister also ended up like getting sober eventually. And like but we would never have if my mom hadn't.
But your mom couldn't have been happy with the fact that you were doing drugs and cocaine.
No, she didn't really know what to do with me. Like when I dropped out of school, I was like, well, you can't make me go. And she was like, well, you're fucking right. So I don't know what to do. And it was just, she was like, well, then I guess you have to get a job. You know, it was at that point where it's like, you can't beat me anymore. you can't force me to do anything. No, but I mean like, you know, you can't spank me or like fucking, you just can't, there's no physical way for you to make me do what you want. And I was too young for her to really kick me out. Like she has a heart, you know, so she was like, well, you need to get a job, get your GED.
Did you do that?
Yeah, I got my GED, and then after I got pregnant. And
you get pregnant at 17.
Mm-hmm.
So you should have been a junior in high school.
Yeah,
possibly a senior. And now at any point were you like, well, I could always have an abortion?
I definitely thought about it. Yeah, like, I mean, okay, so I liked Max's dad, but I knew like that was not going to be a long-term thing. Like looking at Max's dad even as a teenager, I was like, oh shit. Like
this guy's a drug addict.
Yeah, who, you know. And I didn't think either one of us were really ready, and so I thought about like getting an abortion. And I went to a friend's mom. I went to a good friend of mine. I went to his mom, and I was like, will you take me to get an abortion? And she was like, you need to talk to your mom. And so I did, and my mom convinced me to have my son.
Wow.
Yeah, who's... He'll be 17 this year. So
wow.
Like now he's as old as I was.
But geez, that's a lot of... I mean, that's a ballsy move. I mean, your daughter just dropped out of high school. She doesn't have a job.
Yeah.
She now has a kid, and she's like, great idea.
I know. Well, my mom's really like that. Like, my mom is really all about, like, have the baby, keep the baby. Like, no matter what, she is really about women. I wouldn't say that my mom's not pro-choice, but she's not really pro-choice.
Right.
She is pretty conservative in that view that she thinks women should have the babies that they
can. So now 9 months, you're 17, now you're 9 months pregnant.
Yeah.
And now are you a big whale?
I was over 200 pounds when I was pregnant.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy? Yeah.
Wow.
I don't believe that either.
Man. That's 200 pounds. Wow.
Yeah, I was
so
big.
You look like you're like Roy Nelson with a wig, basically.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
So you're walking around, you give birth, and right away you must fall in love with this boy. Like this is yours.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, I couldn't believe it. Like I thought for sure I wasn't gonna like him.
But how are you supporting this kid?
We lived with my mom. Like, she helped a lot, and like I worked at Walmart. And
you're not dealing drugs anymore?
No. Well, after he was born, like maybe 6 or 8 months, I did start doing drugs. When he was like 6 or 8 months old, I kind of got back into it.
But when you were pregnant, you stopped.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Was it hard to stop?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's like my first experience getting sober was because I was pregnant and I was like, I need some help. Like, I can't stay sober on my own. And so I started going to meetings and stuff when I was pregnant. And
you're
I
17 year old it. Going to meetings pregnant. That's yeah. My man.
Yeah, that's just the epitome of success right there.
Wow. Fuck.
And, you know, and I thought I knew everything too. That's the thing is I never felt like this is fucked up. Like, in my mind, I was like, I fucking got this. You know, we're just totally naive. Like, looking back, I'm like, oh.
But aren't people looking at you like, oh, good luck? I mean, you're a teen mom.
No, not in meetings. Like, in meetings, but
I'm saying, when, right, of course. Well, like, they don't even know you're pregnant. But when you're walking around Alaska, are people giving you, like, judgments?
I definitely got, like, some. I remember some instances, like, especially, like, old people, I don't know, just feel like they have the right to tell people anything, and so, like, I remember, like, this old guy, I worked in an old folks' home cooking, and this old guy, I remember just yelling at me, telling me that, like, I was too young to be pregnant, and what a waste, and, like, I just kind of chalked it up to him being old, you know, I was like, fuck you, whatever, and, like, but, like, my sister had her babies when she was really young, my mom had her kids when she was really young, it's kind of a cycle in our family, and so I think, like, I wish somebody had told me, like, hey, this isn't normal or necessarily very good, you know, but, like, my mom was like, yeah, let's do this, have a kid. So
you know what, it turned out to be the best thing that ever happened to you.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I can't believe how good my kid has turned out. Like, and to see him now, he's a teenager, and I'm definitely a better mom now than I was when he was young. I mean, I was just a kid.
So you're working at Walmart.
Yeah.
You're making what, like $6 an hour?
Yeah, something
like that. But you're making something, you're living at home. And now, when do we see any kind of a light here? Are we like, is it?
I had some money from when my dad died. The flight school did end up paying us like some life insurance, and so when I turned 18, I got a settlement, and it was like $50,000 or something. And to me, at 18 years old, I was like, this is
I could retire,
never ending money. Yeah. I was like, this is crazy. And so that's actually like I spent it all on drugs. Like, I got my own apartment. Oh my god, yeah, I could have gone to college. Like, that's a free college ride right there.
Yeah.
But nope, Lauren went and got an apartment and bought a bunch of furniture and bought a bunch of cocaine and some weed, and like suddenly all that money was fucking gone before I even could like think.
And you have a kid.
And I had a kid.
So you're doing drugs.
And I was supporting his dad, so his dad was like, oh, this bitch has money, you know,
like, oh my god.
So he didn't get a job, like, you know what I mean, and eventually like the money ran out, and like here I was like broke.
I know, but are you being a good mom? Are you changing diapers? Are you making
sure? No, of course, like, of course I wasn't a good mom. Like, I was a kid and I was on drugs, and my mom helped a lot, really. Like, I would say the best thing my mom ever did for me was that, like, I would call her and I'd be like, hey, can you take Max? And she would say yep, and she would take him for 3-4 days at a time, 5 days at a time, and then I would go back and fucking pick him up, you know. I'd be all skinny, I lost 10 pounds over the weekend or whatever.
Wow.
And take him home for a day or two, and then she would
call. And none of your friends are saying to you, hey, listen, Lauren,
no, getting high with
you
me.
Got a kid. Nobody's saying anything to you. Not one. Because
my friends were like, can you get rid of your kid for the weekend, and then we could go party. That's like the kind of friends that I had.
But even like amongst those kids, there was always that one friend that like had some good advice. Like that one weird fucking kid that was like, hey, man, you know.
Maybe,
like,
that's not a good idea.
Yeah, maybe you should be home. Nobody.
Maybe somebody did, but if they did, I never heard it. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but even if somebody had said that, I probably would not have been able to hear.
So now you're 19 years old. Your money's gone.
The money's gone. I'm not happy like with Max's dad. I'm like, this guy's a fucking loser. I'm a fucking loser. And my dad's family lived in California. They live in Stockton. And
it's even worse.
Yeah. No, but they're all super, they're like living a good part of Stockton, which is super
weird. Their last names are Diaz.
So I moved down there. I did move down to Stockton, and I went to school there.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I called up my aunt and uncle, and that's my dad's sister, and so she always kind of tried to look out for me after my dad died. And I said, look, I'm in some real trouble, I need help. And they said, why don't you come down here? And so Max lived with my mom. I moved to Stockton and I went to school. Like, they signed me up for college, which I hadn't even graduated fucking high school.
What kind of college?
A community college
in Stockton.
San Joaquin Delta College.
Wow.
Yeah. And they showed me how to like go to class, they showed me how to sign up. They showed me how to get my books. Like, I didn't know any of this shit. I didn't know how to fucking do anything.
Do you know how to read at that point or no?
Barely.
All right.
Barely, yeah. I knew how to measure out grams and ounces. That's about it. And so I went to college. I got straight A's.
But wow.
Yeah.
So now you're on a mission.
Yeah. I was like, this is fucking crazy. I didn't know I could do it, you know?
Right.
Everybody was like, holy shit, look at Lauren, you know?
Okay.
And that's...
Do you feel bad, though, that your kids are with your mom?
Yeah. So I moved back to Alaska. And immediately started doing drugs again.
No,
really?
Like, yeah.
Fuck.
Oh, yeah, dude.
So now, just be prepared. There's
after,
a lot more
after, fuck. After graduating, so now you're 22.
No, I didn't. I only did like one semester of college.
That doesn't fucking count. I think you went like 4 years and got a degree.
I didn't know. You know, I did like one semester and I got straight A's. I was like, fucking cool. So I'm going to go home for the summer and I'll be back for like fall semester. And I just never made it back.
Okay, so now you're back in Alaska. You have one term of community college, one semester.
Yeah.
So like, okay, great. But whatever, it's still something. Now you come back and then you have no money again. You're back at Walmart?
I don't remember what I was doing. I was just fucking doing drugs. I was like going, I was
now, have we moved on to heroin yet or no?
Yeah, I started using needles around that time. And like, I overdosed. I had overdosed like a couple times, like minor overdoses. And then I had a really...
Now you're going right to heroin. Are you even doing coke or...
Mm-hmm, yeah, I'll do anything you put in front of me.
Like, so you're smoking weed?
Smoking weed.
Which is doing nothing for you
Meth. Like if I could find meth, I would do it. We did a lot of coke because that was kind of easy to come by. And we did a ton of OxyContin.
Oh my God.
And this is all stuff that you can put in a spoon and cook up, right?
Right.
So anything, if you can crush it into a powder and put it in a spoon and cook it, I'm gonna shoot it. Like, no, I don't care even really what it is at this point. Like, that's just the kind of drug addict I am. I'm not picky. I'm gonna do whatever it is. And I overdosed and had a seizure. And
now, when you say you overdosed, like, so you take a heroin?
Uh-huh. It was cocaine.
You're cocaine. You're at a party?
No, I was in my truck. It was my last like worldly possession was my truck, and I was sleeping in it. Like I didn't have anywhere else to go, and I had a little bit of cocaine left, and I was shooting it up.
And it's freezing out.
I can't remember.
You're in Alaska, and you're shooting cocaine in your pickup truck by yourself.
No, my dealer was with me.
Your dealer. Now you said you live there. Like, where were you showering? Where were you going to the bathroom?
I don't remember.
You don't even remember that.
No, I don't.
And your kid's at home with mom.
My kid was with
your mom's. Probably like, my daughter's a drug addict. Has she given up at this point?
Yeah, she was kind of like, let her go. Like, just let her do whatever she's gonna do.
And she knows in the program that like you can only kind of look out for yourself. You have to show that. You have to be a role model. You can't.
Yeah.
Because that person's gonna bring you down. And
exactly.
So is she going to Al-Anon meetings at this point?
Mm-hmm, yeah,
she's going to Al-Anon.
Yeah.
So you're in the truck, you're doing the coke, you're out.
Yeah.
Who
like
finds you?
Nobody. I passed out and I
were you driving at the time?
No, I was parked at a bar and I was like not even old enough to drink yet. And so we were parked at this bar and I remember like falling out and I remember thinking like if I could just roll down my window, like I'll be okay. But I couldn't, like I just couldn't move. And then I passed out. I woke up and I didn't know that I had passed out. Like I didn't know what had happened. And I woke up and the girl next to me was just staring at me. And I was like, what? I was all pissed at her. I was like, what the fuck are you looking at? Like, I was ready to fight
her. The needle still on your arm?
It was somewhere. Yeah, it was somewhere in the truck. And like, she was like, look, you had a seizure and you hit your head on the horn a bunch of times. So I need you to drive me home because the cops are going to come. And I was like,
she wants you to drive.
Yeah. So I drove.
That is the worst first responder I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yeah.
What a fucking idiot.
Well, none of us gave a fuck about each other. Like, none of us cared about each other. We were just trying to get high.
But who says that? Okay, you just passed out and overdosed. Drive me home.
She did.
Drug dealer.
Fuck.
Yeah. And she's dead now. She actually died. I don't even know how, actually.
I wonder.
I drove her
very
home.
Good decision maker. Rest in peace, whoever this person is. All right, so go on.
I drove her home, and then I was out of it, man. I was fucked up. And so I went to my friends, actually, Aurora, who you've met.
Aurora Ford.
Aurora Ford.
Yeah, I like Aurora Ford.
And, yeah, she's
I don't know her,
lady.
But she seems like a kind spirit.
I went to her, and I was like, man, I had a seizure. And she was like, you need to go to the hospital. So she called an ambulance. The ambulance came and got me, and they took me to the hospital, and now it's been a couple hours since I had a seizure. And I called my mom, who is sober now, but she's done her fair share of cocaine, you know what I mean? So I called my mom, I said, Mom, I had a seizure. And she started crying, and she was like, you might have another one. She said, you don't know what's going to happen. You need to go to the hospital. So anyway, they took me in the ambulance to the hospital that's there in Anchorage. And like, I was laying in that bed. I was covered in blood because I had been shooting up and like, I was dirty. I don't know when the last time I had showered was. My mom came in. My sister was there. Everybody's crying. And like, I was just like, please, God, if you fucking let me out of here, I swear to God, I'll get clean. I will never fucking use again. Please just let me get out of here. And so I got out of the hospital. They released me. And I was doing coke like 12 hours later.
Like,
told I just... You.
Yeah, see, Joe hears that and he's like, "What the fuck?" But like, I could not stop.
This is why you don't tap, huh?
Dude, I meant it when I was saying that stuff. I meant it with every fiber of my being that I would never get high again, and with everything in me.
But you're an addict. You had a disease.
Whatever. So. Like, I have definitely come to know that whatever it is that Lauren is doing 100%. Like, she is all in. Another thing that always stands out to me, like when I hear this story from other people's perspectives, when she went to Aurora that night and asked for help, Aurora was kind of clueless. Like, she knew that she parted a lot.
Yeah.
And did drugs, but she had no idea.
That how deep this... Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Arms are covered in abscesses, and that was that bad.
So then, okay, so now at this point, you're still doing cocaine. When does the bottom happen? Or did you do cocaine this morning?
I'm still doing it. No, that really was kind of it, because that was at the... Like, when I started getting high again, I was like, oh my God, I want to stop, and I can't. And that had never really like hit me like that before. You know, I'd always had an excuse like, oh, I don't really want to quit, or I don't need to quit. But now it was like, fucking, I want to quit. I need to quit. I'm afraid I'm going to die, and I still can't quit. And so then I started going to meetings, and I actually went to rehab for 2 fucking years.
2 years.
I was in inpatient rehab. I went to like 5 different rehab centers. It was like over the course of 2 years.
Why do you have to keep going to different ones?
Because I kept getting high.
Oh.
And then I would get kicked out. I've actually never been in a rehab center that I didn't get high in.
Wow.
That's kind of funny.
Now, people were coming into the rehab center and you were convincing them, hey, do you have anything? Or how did this...
It's
the easiest place to find drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to find drugs, you're going to go to a drug addict, right?
Right.
Well, fucking rehab is chock full of drug addicts.
Right, but, yeah, but you're not bringing drugs in there. How are you getting them in there?
You can't, but like... people do. I mean, like, plenty of addicts will find a way to bring drugs into a rehab center. Or like, one time I went on pass and I went out and got drunk, you know, like, and then I went back to the rehab center drunk and they fucking kicked me out. Like, it just, you know, just a series of really fucking stupid decisions.
By the way, guys, this podcast is sponsored by Speedweed. Speedweed.com. If you need marijuana, this is the place. We will, okay, we deliver to rehab centers all over Alaska.
Don't even have to smuggled in.
Yeah, yeah, don't worry. Hey,
it's totally legal.
You want your drugs delivered to your rehab center? Speedweed is the way to go. Wait, so you get kicked out of 5. Now, I would think at a rehab center they would say, okay, you know, you relapsed, you did drugs, but we're not going to kick you out because you're an addict.
Yeah.
How do you get kicked out of rehab?
Yeah, no, they will say that. They'll say, like, okay, you got high while you're in here, you have to fucking get out. Like, they're not
they'll just boot you out.
They'll boot you out. Or I left a couple times, like, before they could kick me out. Like, there's varying.
So 2 years later.
I quit.
So now you're 22.
Yeah, and then I was 22.
But who's paying for the rehab? So that, is that part of
they'll
the...
They'll let you in for free, and then, like, you pay them back later.
So pretty much all... Plan. So are your Friday the Night bonuses going to the rehab centers from...
Well, a couple of them I paid off through working, and then one that I had a really deep debt to, I paid off, and then I worked for them, in their kitchen for a long time, and they forgave my debt. So I've actually paid off all my debts to rehabs.
So, I mean, now, are you at any point in your life now, are you feeling good about yourself?
No. Are you kidding me? No.
So
all I had going for me was that, like, I wasn't really that smart anymore, because, like, after I had my seizure, I was kind of fucking stupid. Like, I was really out of it for a long time, and still to this day, there's something, like, words get stuck in my head sometimes, and that never used to happen to me before I had that seizure.
Well, you're also getting punched in the head for a living.
That's true. Yeah.
On top of all the drugs
it's
that you've
helping.
Done, right? But you know what? You know, we need people like you in this world. All right. So now you're 22, 23. Now do you have a job? Any kind of real job?
Yeah, I can't remember where I worked. Oh, I worked at like a pizza kitchen for a while, and I really hated it. But I you know, I had like a little apartment, and I started going to meetings.
Is your kid with you now?
No, he was still with my mom, but like I had visitation with him, and he would come stay with me and stuff.
Was that hard not being able to see the kid? That must have been brutal.
Yeah, it was brutal. It was. It sucked. And like, yeah, I felt like a loser. I didn't have a car. I walked to my fucking job every day, my piece of shit job that was minimum wage that I hated. And like all my friends, not all my friends, but people like Aurora and like other people around me were graduating college or they were married and getting their lives started. And fucking Lauren's over here, like just yeah. trying to pay off rehab, you know? And so I did start to feel like a real loser. And I did, I got sober for quite a long time, like 4 years.
So now, at this point, your kid wants to take karate, right? Or jujitsu?
Yeah.
So you're like, you know what? I want to do mom. I want to be a mom. I want to be a good mom again. I want to do fun things with my kid.
Yeah.
So you and your son. Your son's how old?
He's 16 now.
No, but back then?
But he was 8 then.
He's 8. Yeah. You're like, all right, I'll take you to jujitsu.
Yeah, and so I had kind of bounced around. Like, in my sobriety, I'd hit, like, a rough spot. I'd been drinking. I never really went back to, like, heroin use, but, like there were times when I drank or would take pills. And so, yeah, I was kind of struggling, and Max... I wanted him to be a martial artist because, like, when I was growing up, I wanted to do karate or fucking be like Jean-Claude Van Damme. And, like, I just never could. We lived on a dirt road, and my parents were too drunk to take me. And so, like, I never got to be an athlete. And so I was like, you're going to be an athlete. And I did. I took him to Gracie Baja, which is, like, a jiu-jitsu gym.
In Alaska.
In Alaska.
Now, okay.
Where jiu-jitsu was, though. She literally, back in the day when we actually had phone books, flipped open a phone book and... fucking pointed at a martial arts school.
Yeah. Right. So you're like Gracie Baja.
Yeah.
Okay. So
Gracie Barra. Let's
so,
do this.
So you walk in here, you've never done a push up in your life.
Yeah.
You've never done a sit up, never done anything athletic other than maybe put your at a rave. Maybe you had some kind of cool thing. Maybe you've had your ankles over your head and a couple fun nights, right? So you walk in there and your kid's doing jujitsu and you're like, oh, I want to try this.
Yeah. I was like, well, he was nervous about it. And I was like, well, I'll do it with you. And that way, like, we'll be doing it together. And you don't have to feel so alone. And like, he did the kids class and he fucking hated it, and I did the adults class and I fucking loved it. And so like, he was like, I don't ever want to do this again. And I was like, you sure? Because I want to come back here every day. Like,
but are you getting tapped out in your first class? Are you getting fucked up?
Or? Oh, I don't remember. I
mean, how is anyone losing to you? I mean no offense, but like...
I think some of the guys did, but there were other new girls there that were like white belts. And I remember us just... none of us had any fucking idea what we were doing. A bunch of white belt women just fucking trying to...
Flopping around.
But you don't know... is it gi?
Yeah, it was in the gi, and I didn't wrestle. I didn't know what the point of anything was. I just grabbed him and fucking like tried to.
She could have been in big trouble and wouldn't even have known him.
Yeah, right.
Like, no idea. Awesome. Yeah, I just loved. I loved like being competitive. I liked trying to be on top. Like I could do, you know, in a couple days. It's like you learn whatever your naked choke is. Okay, I could fucking like try and choke you. All right. Like,
right.
To me, that was really fun.
So you fall in love with this. Mm-hmm. Now, who's a teacher?
We had a couple different ones, but one of them was this old dude named Ted. I'm not making this up. His name is Ted Stickle.
Ted Stickle. All right.
So if you say it really fast, it sounds like testicle.
Testicle. That's hilarious.
So
are you giggling every time you say it?
Every fucking time. And that dude, like...
shout out to Ted.
Shout out to Ted Stickle. And he was all right. And then this guy named Pat Applegate started teaching.
And the other guy's name is Bill Sack. Ballsack. Testicle and ball sack were my teachers.
Hanging around.
Couple assholes. It was great. So now, is he telling you like, hey, listen, you have potential in this or?
Not really. Like I didn't really know. There was a guy that was hanging around the gym and he would give boxing lessons, especially to all the new girls. He would give boxing lessons.
Oh yeah, that's every creep fucking.
You know that guy. Yeah. And he was like, you should go, like, you should be on the MMA team. I was like,
What, your first day?
I've been there a couple months.
Okay.
I think I've been there like 2 months or 3 months. And he was like, you should go try for the MMA team. And like, I was like, I don't know. Like, to me, you know, it's in Alaska. These guys are fighting like in a local promotion. But to me, they were famous. To me, they were the fucking coolest people ever. Like,
well, yeah, because you hang out with crackheads. The people at McDonald's are like medical doctors compared to your fucking crew of degenerates.
And then now looking back at those guys, I'm like, oh, good Lord. But at the time, they were like the highest aspiration that I could.
Wow, like, these guys don't have needles in their arms? See, wow, you guys are amazing. Fucking major successes in life.
They could have been like
you do
multiple.
Fun shit and then drive yourself home?
Yeah. Wow. This is crazy.
You have custody of your kids? So
this is amazing. God. So yeah, I don't know. I went to the fucking MMA practice and I got the shit kicked out of me. And like, I was like,
It was all guys, or there's some girls there? All dudes.
There was no girls. It was all dudes. None of them wanted me there, by the way. They were all like, who is this shit-ass girl? She's not any good. And I wasn't. I didn't know anything. And so I got...
Have you noticed your body getting better? You're getting abs or like...
Yeah.
Your butt's nicer. I mean, at this point...
I quit smoking.
Your butt must look terrible. I mean, it's all wrinkly and saggy. I mean, you've never done anything, right? No squats.
I don't know how my butt looks.
Your butt looks great now.
Yeah, now it's great. Back then, I'm sure it was like, yeah, okay, go on.
Yeah, I don't know. I smoked a pack a day like when I first started, and then I didn't want anybody to whoop my ass, so I quit smoking, and I just got healthier and healthier. And like back then, I think I was too stupid too to know like there's certain things you're not supposed to be able to do, and so I think I was too dumb to know you can't do those things, and so I would just do them. Like I would do these like really long practices. Yeah,
you're like 4 hour practices.
4 hour practices, like crazy long, like 10 minute rounds. You know, with a fucking different person in every minute or whatever, and just nobody ever told me you're not supposed to be able to do that, and so like, we would just do these crazy hard practices.
Yeah,
and
it's nuts going back and thinking about it.
Like some of the stuff that we did
originally trained on that MMA team. Like I've seen Lauren.
Oh, you were on the team?
Yeah.
That's where you guys met. Right. Mm-hmm. So now you're on the team. Lauren comes in, and this is Joe, her husband, who also was a fighter, 3-1.
Right.
Pro?
Pro, yeah.
Pro, 3-1. Now you see Lauren. Are you, like, immediately kind of into her, or are you just like...
Of course. I mean, there's always that, like, oh, check out the tough chick on the team.
Well, she's the only chick on the team.
Exactly.
All right, okay. You
know, but she was just super kind right away. Like, she's always been very, like, lights up the room when she comes in. Everybody, like, wants to talk to and is... The room is more fun when Lauren's around. That's always better.
Yeah, you hear that? It wasn't just me fucking shooting up heroin in the parking lot. I'm a nice person, goddammit.
Now, did you know of her checkered past at all?
I had no idea. In fact, there's like a couple old like interviews and stuff where we talk about the way we first met and my initial first impression of her. I thought that she was like happily married. I thought she was a housewife who just came and did jujitsu because it was fun and like she's got her shit together.
What?
No clue.
The ankle bracelets didn't set up any.
There were some guys that had like,
literally, yeah.
What are they called?
The tether.
Yeah, like the parole or whatever. They had the ankle bracelets on, and they would come in and do jujitsu.
No
and
way.
There was one guy that was wearing one, and he came to an MMA practice, and he was like kicking people with it. Yeah. Wow. And so I never did have like a house arrest bracelet.
Congratulations.
I got into a surprisingly small amount of trouble for the.
So now when you see Lauren, now do you ask her out like? After like a couple months or
no. So interesting story about how Lauren and I first met. So we meet on the MMA team, but both of us were actually married to other people.
You were still married to this guy?
Not to Max's dad. I was married to another guy.
This is a whole other fucking
hell, right?
Who was this guy?
He was, I met him AA, at meetings, yeah.
Okay.
And he was sober, and I was sober, and like, I was totally, that's I thought it. That was my life. But he was super Christian, really Christian, and he was kind of like I don't know how else to explain it, he was like an abusive Christian. Like, he was one of those, like, spare the rod, spoil the child guys, the wife is really submissive to the husband, and that's the way God wants it, and like, just one of those, you know, and I thought... that was the right way to be. I thought like I'm fucked up. Okay. That's how I thought about it. Lauren's fucked up and she doesn't know what's best for her. This guy is going to know what's best for her. And what he told me, it took me a long time to realize that that is not what is best. Like it was.
Yeah. But at that point, you're kind of in like a low point. You knew this guy sort of, you figure you trust in him.
Yeah.
So you're living with him.
Yeah. I lived with him. We dated for a while and then we ended up getting married, and I actually did not want to even really marry him, but I was in such a weird spot in my life that I was like, okay, like this must be what's best for me. Like this person knows what is best for me more than I'm going
to
know what's best.
And Joe, you're married to who?
So my high school sweetheart, you know, I graduated high school and joined the Air Force right away. So, we were still married at the time.
Well, thank
you. Similar thing, like our relationship was falling apart. In fact, at the time when I met Lauren, my then wife and I didn't even live in the same state.
Oh, wow.
She lived in Nebraska. I lived in Alaska.
Oh, that's healthy.
Yeah. No, when I met him, I was like, your wife.
Now, do you have any kids with her?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, no
so you guys, now, were you guys all of a sudden, did you hook up and like cheat on your alleged or no?
We were I got a divorce. I left my husband pretty early.
Yeah.
Like I left my husband and I actually dated other guys and Joe and I were friends. And so I was dating all these shit bags and like I would go crying to Joe and I'd be like, this guy did this.
And oh, and that actually worked for you? Wow.
I didn't think that it was going to turn.
A lot of guys become that. Oh, you're friend one, zone. Friend zone. Yeah, that actually worked.
For all the guys listening, don't get your hopes up. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like Joe's one in a million. So.
Oh, okay. Wow. I was going
to
say.
It was similar to, like I mentioned earlier, like Aurora just not having any idea that she was that deep into it. Lauren and I got to be friends first. And like, of course, I've always been like attracted to her and liked who she was. But I was just myself around her. I wasn't like the guy trying to hook up with her. I was just me, you know, and we got to be friends. And I never had to act a certain way or be like, remember what fucking role I was playing.
Well, Lauren's a great girl, but she's clearly kind of a head case. And you seem like a very stable guy. So I could see why this works.
Yeah.
You can't have two stable people and you can't have two head cases.
Yeah,
one
exactly.
Sort of like.
Yeah.
So your first fight, you fight Kaloya Wayland.
Kaloya, yeah.
Kaloya Wayland, uh-huh. Right? So now you're trained 4 months. You're ready for your first fight, obviously.
Yeah, clearly. a world beater.
Yes. So yeah, you go in there. Are you nervous? Are you scared? Are you sweating?
Terrified. Yeah. And she had a pro fight. And I was like, to me, I thought she was like the shit. Like she was the fucking, you know, the Paige Van Zandt of Alaska or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know. And so I was just so.
Is it in an igloo?
Scared.
Take place in an igloo?
It did, yeah. Actually, on an ice skating rink. We wore ice skates. No.
There was a penguin, was a ring girl. So now you knocked this girl out quickly. I was 17 seconds.
Yeah. I just hit her as hard as I could. And she fell down, like I knocked her down, and I was so green that I was like, what is she doing down there? Like, I didn't even know what had happened, so I let her
You think she overdosed? Or?
Yeah, I was like, shit, somebody call the medics.
You gotta drive me home.
I don't know how to handle this. You need to get an ambulance.
So all right, so you knock her down, 17 seconds, fight's over. Mm-hmm. Is this the happiest moment of your life? Is this the only good thing that's happened so far in your entire life?
Oh, I had a couple of things. But yeah, I was like, fuck, like this... Actually, to me, I was like, this fight doesn't count. Like, I was like, I just wanted to try it just to have something cool to tell my kids. But this 17 second is bullshit. Like,
what?
I was like, this doesn't count. I need to do another fight so that I can actually have some like time in the ring.
Really?
Yeah, because yeah. I just
Here's
was
the beginning of like a peek into how Lauren's mind works. Yeah. Anyone else would have been like, whoa. Fucking thank God.
I mean, I kind of get that, though. Like when I wrestled in high school, if somebody took a shot and I sprawled and got behind him, I didn't count it as a takedown. Because, like, I only counted it if I got the double leg.
Yeah,
like,
if you shoot.
In some weird fucking way, that was, like, how... I mean,
you didn't initiate it, yeah.
Maybe, but that's obviously not... But it's kind of similar thinking. I don't know why I didn't count it if they took a bad shot.
It is a takedown, yeah. But...
Yeah, but I didn't have it. But, yeah. Okay, so now you have a fight. A couple months later, you fight Leslie Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are you more calm because you had a fight?
Yeah, I was a little more calm, and like I concentrated on being calm. And I was I was super nervous, but like back then, like I said, I was just going to do one fight, like just to tell my kids and my grandkids, and like have a cool story. And so this was like, I don't know, it was just for fun. Like yeah. I was just having a good time, you know.
And even
so.
Just early on, like nothing fazed her. Like you weren't supposed to fight Leslie, right?
Yeah, like that was like a last minute switch. So I was supposed to fight somebody else, and then it ended up being her.
Opponent.
And
she
like,
just didn't give a shit.
Yeah,
she weighed in at like 170 pounds.
170.
Yeah,
and what do you weigh at that point?
At that point, I probably weighed like 145. So
then you fight Willow Bailey.
Yeah.
It says you won by retirement.
Yeah.
I
don't know what that means actually, but she never did fight again. So I guess
did she knock him out in the corner? Is that what happened?
Yeah. The ref stopped it between rounds, but that was like she was like a serious opponent. Like for her, I was really nervous. I was like, this is crazy. Like I was a big underdog in that fight. I wasn't supposed to win. And then I beat her probably worse than I've ever beat anybody in my entire life. Like I just beat the hell.
Now is your mom coming to these fights?
My mom didn't come. My sister did, but my mom always like really supported me.
And your sister, you guys are close? You and your
yeah,
sister?
Yeah, we're pretty close, yeah.
Now are people actually like, now are you starting to become like, is there a buzz about you? Are
kind
people,
of, yeah. After that fight in Alaska, because there's like, you know, fucking... You know, five fighters.
Do people see you and go, wait, that's the girl that sold me drugs?
Dude, in Alaska, sometimes, like, people would come to the fights and it would be like somebody that I got high with. And I'd be like, hey, look what I'm doing now. And they would always be like, Holy they'd be like, holy shit, what are you do? Like, this is crazy, I can't believe it, kick ass girl, you know?
Oh.
Or like, I'll be, they'd be like, I just got out of jail. I'd be like, that's awesome, I'm gonna go fight, you know?
So, were they like running after parties at 5 a.m. in some seedy hole or something? Like, hey, after party at the park or so, underneath the bus or something.
Seriously, yeah. Like people that, I had two people that I was in rehab with see me on The Ultimate Fighter. And they like hit me up on Facebook and they're like, hey, I just saw you on the Ultimate
That's gotta
Fighter.
Feel amazing.
Crazy to see you're doing so good. Yeah.
That's gotta really feel
And
good.
I'm always like, dude, it's crazy to see you. Like, you're not dead. Cause a lot of people that I was in rehab with are dead now. And so, like, to even see somebody that's still fucking alive and not in prison is, to me, is like a big.
Now, at this point, are you and Joe together?
I don't think we were we were just hanging around.
Just hanging out, but was there sparks?
I loved Joe from like basically the day I met him. Yeah.
Right. So you were attracted to Joe.
Yeah.
You kind of fantasized. You were going home and masturbating to Joe.
Yeah, but look at
really?
Him. Like, he's a yeah.
He's a good looking guy. I hate to say it.
And he's clean cut. And so I was kind of, you know, I had some fucking problems. like, there's no way a dude like that is going to want to be with a girl like me. Like, I'm a fucking wreck.
You're a very beautiful woman.
Whatever,
and I know the boobs came later, right?
The boobs did come later.
Okay,
the year after I started fighting, I got my tits.
So you have, now you have the boobs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, Joe, when she gets the boobs, is there a different?
She had the boobs when I met her.
Oh, okay, okay.
So they were always. So yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, all right. Okay.
One time, this guy came in, and me and Joe were kind of dating at this point when this guy came in, and he like.
Oh yeah, it was a guy I worked with.
He talked to Joe in the locker room, and he's like, "Man, I was rolling with Lauren, and like her boobs were all on me." And we were sweating. We were rolling together.
I was like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. He was like going to whoop that
really?
Guy's ass in the locker. Yeah, because it was like his first day in jiu-jitsu. It's kind of weird for him.
Probably his last day, too. He's like, fuck this. Boxing. I'm going to boxing.
Yeah. He was so weird about it. And then, like, yeah, he made the mistake of telling Joe. And Joe just had this look on his face like, I'm going to fucking whoop your ass. And so he stopped talking.
Figured it out. Never came back.
Now, you're still at the Alaska fight team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now the guys, now you're like the pride. You went from like walking in as a homeless person to now you're the pride of the team.
Yeah, and so like I got divorced. I left my husband, who was really, he was super non-supportive of MMA. He was like, I can't believe you're doing this. This is super weird. You are violent.
The Christian guy?
Yeah, Christian guy.
But the like, baby daddy's probably happy, right, for you?
The baby daddy was like, whoa. He was like, I'm glad you didn't know how to do this shit. Like when we were together, because we would physically fight sometimes.
Ooh.
But I didn't know how to fight. So he's always kind of made a joke.
So he would
like,
beat you up?
No, but like we would get into shoving matches or fucking like throw shit. Like I slapped him a couple times and he would grab me. We never like got into fist fights, but there was some physical altercations that were.
Oh, sounds like you're in a great place.
Yeah.
So now you're fighting Caitlin Young in Invicta. No, you actually Jennifer Scott, the LFC championship legacy. This is big.
Shout out to McMaynard.
This is like on TV.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And you win in another round, or one round by elbows. You just fucked this chick up.
Yeah.
Now at this point, are you thinking that you're the best in the world?
Yeah. Well, at this point, I talked to my coach and I said like, do you think I could go somewhere with this? And he immediately was like, yes. And I was like, okay, well then let's do it. Like, let's just jump in with both feet and try and fucking fight for a living. Like, let's see if we can make this. And I was actually already signed to Invicta when I fought in Legacy, and Invicta granted me like permission to go fight in Legacy, and then they immediately hooked me up with that Caitlin Young fight right afterward.
So if you look at Lauren's kind of timeline there on the fights, that's the biggest gap that she's had from her last fight in Alaska, which
was 2 years,
right?
Yeah.
So a lot happened in that 2 years. First of all, our team, our that little team in great, you know, Gracie Baja, Alaska, it like kind of took off, man. We had a really great coach, a guy named Pat Applegate, who just changed a whole lot of lives, man. Kind of brought us all together.
Changed
really,
my life
really
for
knew
sure.
what he was doing, and like that little team had Lauren Murphy, UFC, Jared Cannoneers in the UFC, Andy Enns, who made it to the UFC. I was on that team, just a bunch of guys who went on to do really
good
things.
Wow. Yeah. Now, did you guys have any wrestling there?
Actually, Alaska has quite a bit of grappling. Like, there's several black belts that live up there, and then it has a pretty good wrestling base. Like, there's a good wrestling community.
Wow.
I didn't wrestle, but, other
Andy
people
have.
Andy
was a pretty good wrestler there in Alaska, and, like, I grew up in Michigan, and I wrestled most of my life at that point, so wrestling was my background.
There was another kid that was, like, Alaskan wrestling, and then I think he was in Legacy or something, and then like he was on a podcast, and the other guy was just shitting on him left and right.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, "Ooh, Alaskan wrestling, that's so good." Chili Willy or something. He was saying some crazy shit. About, I forgot who it was though. And the guy actually won. The kid won. The Alaskan kid won.
Good deal.
So then you go to Invicta. Caitlin Young, who's had like 100 fights.
Yeah, and she was like my idol. Like I just was like, this is crazy. Like I felt the same way about Caitlin Young as I felt like right before we fought Barb. I was like, this is so cool.
And
like,
but did you not want to fight her because of that?
No, I wanted to fight Caitlin, yeah. And I wanted to fight Barb too. But like with Caitlin, I was like, this is, to me it was such a big step up, and it was just like we're going to see how far we can take this now. Like, maybe I could beat her, you know?
Yeah, and you did. You beat Caitlin Young. Then you go out and beat Sarah D'Alio, who's been around. She's beaten some good girls, that girl.
And she was
top 10 at the time.
She was ranked in the top 10 at the time.
And you beat her.
Yeah.
I mean, now you're clean and sober. Do you have any money on you or no? Because you'll make
no,
it, I mean, you're making at least $300 per fight for these,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, we were making money, but all that, you know, any fighter will tell you, like, you, when you're coming up, you're making that money. It's just going to pay off your fight camps and rent.
So, and I with Joe.
Yep.
Are you guys married yet or no?
We weren't married,
That fight, yeah. Sarah D'Alio.
Joe proposed to me after that fight at the press conference.
If she would have lost, would you have proposed?
I don't know.
I asked him that too. I was like, what if I lost? He'd go, I probably would have waited.
Yeah.
Okay, so, wow. Okay, so yeah. You proposed to her there. You're happy as hell. You guys are already living together at that point?
We did live together. We had moved to Florida. We moved out of Alaska.
So again, in that big 2-year gap, like I said, lots of stuff happened, man. She did a season of wildland firefighting.
Oh yeah, I was a wildland firefighter for a while.
What the fuck is a?
You could do an entire another podcast.
What's
that,
a wildland firefighter? You
like in every state really, but like forest fires when they start, they have to have special crews that go out and fight them. It's not the same as a city firefighter that does like structural fires. And so I did wildland, which is like we would go put out forest fires.
Jesus.
Oh, yeah. So we camped all summer. We I slept out under the stars. I was on a crew with 20 men.
Were you with her doing this?
No, I'm in the military, man. I'm still active duty.
You're in the military. Oh, where were you stationed?
In Alaska. That's where we met.
And so, yeah. So he was stationed in Alaska.
Where are you from originally?
Michigan.
I thought you grew up in Alaska.
Nope. I grew up in Michigan. I was stationed in Virginia for a few years before Alaska, and then that's where.
So you're in Alaska. You're fighting fires. Wait, kids still have mom?
Max was with his dad at this point. Max lived with his dad.
Was that good? Is his dad sober at this point?
His dad is sober, but he just he's kind of an asshole, and so I think it was okay for Max to live there. I think like it made him kind of tough, you know.
But why would? But here you are. You're one of the. You're getting there. You're now probably top 20 in the world. Why all of a sudden you're like, I want to be a firefighter?
No, I was in debt. Like, so when I was drinking, I got a DUI, and like, I ended up beating the charge, but I had gone to jail for a while, and that's expensive. Going to jail fucking costs a lot of money.
How long were you in jail for? A
couple days.
So. And how much did that cost you for a couple days in jail?
A couple grand, but like you have to pay for the jail time. I got my car impounded. I had to pay court fines. My car was impounded for like fucking 4 months.
And you're 6-0, and this is shit's happening?
She was, I think.
I think I was 4-0.
4-0, and you got a DUI in Alaska?
So when I fought my fourth pro fight.
Yes,
I was like,
Julia.
Yeah, Julia Griffin.
She's won 2 professional titles at this point.
Yeah,
I was riding my bike to the gym because I didn't have a license because I had gotten a fucking DUI. So I got.
You couldn't get out of it. You couldn't flash your new boobs or anything.
No,
nothing?
No. So I was going
107 miles an hour.
107.
I was going 107 miles an hour at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was completely
drunk.
Yeah, drunk. And,
you were baked. You said or blacked out.
Blacked out. And so the first thing.
Like,
yeah, dude, and so this is really why my nickname is Lucky, because I flew past this cop, he pulls me over, he's like, you're drunk. I'm like, no, I'm not. He's like, yes, you are, get out of the car. And then he tried to give me a breathalyzer, and I said, nope, I'm not taking that. So like, I wouldn't do the breathalyzer. Well, that's another charge if you refuse a breathalyzer. So they took me to jail, and I pled not guilty to the DUI, and... because I didn't take a breathalyzer, they had no proof. Like, for whatever reason, the cop didn't give me a field sobriety test.
Yeah.
So literally, it was like, she's drunk, and I was like,
Is it in Alaska? Now, was it cold in Alaska? Was it like
very cold, and there's a lot of fucking weird people in jail.
And
in
is there black ice on the run? Are you going 107 on black ice?
No, it was your birthday, so.
Yeah, it was in the summer.
Oh my god!
When I got it. So anyway, I did 3 or 4 days.
Is anybody trying to fight you in jail?
Yeah, the guards actually, like, one of the guards was a boxing coach, and he knew who I was. And so he had told, like, the other guards, and they thought it was hysterical. They were like, oh, extra leg chains for this one. And like, I didn't want to tell anybody because we went from the jail up to the women's prison. So I spent some time in the women's prison, where, by the way, I had gone there volunteering to lead AA meetings for a long time when I was younger. And then I was fucking in there with the people that I was like, yeah, on a DUI charge.
She's the AFC champion, like the local.
Yeah.
Like the local promotion.
Now, does this make the papers and stuff?
Yeah, I was in the paper for the DUI, but not like, it wasn't like, oh, AFC champion gets a DUI. It was just like this psycho girl was going fucking 100.
Did anyone try to fight you in jail?
No, luckily, but
no one's ever tried to fight Lauren.
Yeah, like luckily no, but like I did try to keep it quiet.
And you're with her at this time?
No,
I think we were just kind of starting
to. We were like interested. Like
we were flirting pretty hard.
And there are no red flags at this point to you. Like,
listen, that's another huge kind of start, I guess, to our relationship. Because that night, like the night she got the DUI, was her birthday party, and like she invited me, and I was like, "Oh, this is cool." I got invited to her birthday party, and she got fucking hammered, and she was like, "Hey, can you give me a ride home?" And I was like, "Well, maybe you can just crash at my place," but I was still married, like unhappily, but I was still married.
Right.
So like. We literally like drove to my apartment, and I was like, it's not cool. Like, I can't let you stay at my apartment.
Your wife
I don't
was
remember
there.
Any of this. Right.
Well, your wife was there? Or she was
no.
there.
She was
oh, you could have let her stay.
I know, but
you
like,
fucking idiot.
I know, I'm struggling with this, right?
He feels so guilty. And like, so I don't remember any of this.
I took her to her house. Like, I'm like, all right, I'm going to have to take you home.
Well, you're the guiltiest conscious ever.
Right? Look at this.
Good for you, man. That's a good guy, but
she
Jesus.
Back to
but she's also drunk. I mean, you got to.
Yeah, and like, I don't remember any of that. I don't remember calling the cab. I don't remember going to his house. I don't remember anything until that cop pulled me over, which is crazy. Like, I mean, that's the kind of drunk I am. So that all happened, and then miraculously, not only did I like beat every charge, like my record is clean, despite all that. Because the
cop, also shit. Hey, guys, if you want to break the law, Alaska is the place to do it.
Right. At that, and then like my car got impounded, and like somebody fucked something up in the computer at the car impound place, so they ended up like not charging me what they should have charged me.
That's
like,
good.
It was just all.
So you're like, I'm gonna go fight fire.
I was like, I'm the luckiest person ever. Yeah. That's literally like why my name is Lucky Lauren Murphy, because that all worked out, and so it should not have.
We're also still missing a pretty. Like significant chunk to the Lauren.
What did
story.
You give birth to twins?
I actually ran away with the circus.
So through all of this, she decided to give the college thing a second try.
Oh yeah, I went to nursing school. I was like in nursing school, and like,
but you're a pro fighter.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Okay, so like I'm gonna. How did nursing school go?
She was kicking ass.
Yeah, I fucking got a scholarship. Like my grades were so good that I got a scholarship to nursing school. Like I had great grades. I literally.
So what happened?
Had a full ride. I went to jail.
Oh, DUI.
When I was in jail, I couldn't go to my clinicals, and if you no call, no show to your clinicals, they kick you out. And I was in jail, and I couldn't make a
phone
call.
Couldn't use her one phone call.
Wow.
So they kicked me out of nursing school. I like went to jail. I lost my car. Like I lost everything. My son. That's when my son moved back in with his dad. Like I had custody of my son, and like he went to go live with his dad after that because I was like, I need help. Like I'm a fucking wreck. I
once took home this nurse, and I was like. We were like, hey, want to smoke some weed? She's like, oh, I can't. I get tested. And then whoops out a line of coke. I was like,
she's like, I can't do that weed, though. That's doing drugs.
Yeah, I was like, really? Do you skip foreplay and go to anal? Like, this is the strangest fucking code of ethics I've ever. Okay, so now you join the fire department.
Yeah, so like I applied to work on this fire crew, and it's like really hard work. The PT for it is just fucking insane. You have to carry these like 60-pound bags. You're going for like 10-mile runs. Like it's more work than I've ever done. And at first they did not hire me. The girl that they did hire though was too small to carry the packs, and so they had to fire her. And then they called me, and so I got on like a late replacement. And if you work on a fire crew, you make, I don't know how much money, not much more than minimum wage, but you work so many hours that you get so much overtime. And so you can make $30,000 to $50,000 in a summer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so that's like what I was trying to do, make all this money. It did. Yeah, it worked. I did the whole season. And then at the end of that summer, Joe got stationed in Florida, and I had enough money to like pay off all my debt and leave.
How many fires did you actually put away? And how many did you start?
That summer, you guys went to Idaho, you went to Nevada, you went to
California, Alaska. Iowa.
How was it? Was it insane?
It was insane. It was the hardest thing I've ever done. One day, so I always tell this story, like one day we had really hard PT sessions. Every morning you fucking go and you got to run some ridiculous fucking amount and carry a bunch of shit and do a bunch of pull-ups and push-ups. And
by the way, at this point, I'm active duty military more than a decade. And I'm like, this is fucking harder than anything I've ever
done. Wow.
So
the shit you're coming home and telling me about?
Yeah.
So I woke up one day and I had food poisoning. Like, I don't know from what, I ate something bad and I woke up. It was like 5 a.m. and I'm just fucking throwing up everywhere. Well, I had to go to work. I had to go to the fire crew. And so, like, I show up, report for duty, and I'm like, hey, I'm really sick today.
Did you take a dump on the fire? And then all no, that, like,
my,
diarrhea?
Just my chief, though, was like, well, get in line. We're going to do some PT. And I was like throwing up sick. And so we did a 10-mile Indian run that day.
What's an Indian run?
It's where you have 20 guys in a line and the guy last in line sprint.
Oh, I was doing soccer. I hate those.
Well, everybody's jogging.
Is that how Indians really ran, by the way?
No, I don't think so. I know what that's.
Yeah,
it's David.
Yeah. I didn't realize David was half. Well, he's full Indian, but his mom's Indian. His dad was white.
Oh.
I didn't know that.
David.
Yeah.
I guarantee David ain't running like that.
He's such a nice guy, David.
I love David. David and Emmy are my, like, some of my favorite people.
Her many horses.
Her many horses.
I asked her, I'm like, do you call her horses? He's like, don't you dare call her horses. So flip.
I first met him, that's what I said too. I was like, so, hey, David, so what's up with the her many horses thing? Like on Facebook or whatever. He's like, you mean her last name? I was like, oh, shit. My bad.
Yeah, yeah. They were Native Americans on at the show last night. I guess a lot of them in Arizona.
Yeah.
And I was like, anybody here, whatever, like it in the, I'm like, you know, talk about coming, and the girl was like, I swallow. I'm like, oh, is your name One Who Swallows? And then the gay guy was like, no, that's me. And I was like,
that's awesome.
So, all right, so now you fight Miriam Nakamoto. I think I remember this fight. You win, but people were booing, right? People were mad. They're mad at you.
I know, which is weird because I don't know.
What, like, did you do?
Fucking nothing. I don't know. Like, I lost the first two rounds of that fight, and then the third round I won, and she came out in the fourth round, and she blew her knee out in the third round, and so when she came out in the fourth, she like kind of just sat down and
blew her knee out as a result of Lauren's takedown.
Yeah. I know, and people were mad at you, and I'm like, I never understand fans like that. Like
what do you want me to do? Did you want me to just like give her the belt or like?
But that girl was a legend in Muay Thai.
Yeah,
I mean, she was 16-0 in Muay Thai. She was
Never lost a fight in her life.
Never lost a fight in her life.
Yeah.
Are you nervous at all?
Fuck yes.
You are?
Yeah, dude. I was way nervous.
Even though you fought fires and addiction and drugs and everything else, do you still get nervous to fight this person?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. You have issues. Yeah. Simple Contacts is a convenient way to renew your contact lens prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. It's vision care. Simplified. Here's how it works. Need to renew your prescription? Take a 5-minute vision test from your phone or computer. It's reviewed by a licensed doctor. You receive a renewed 1-year prescription and reorder your contacts. It's that easy. Have an unexpired RX? Just upload a photo of your doctor's information and order your lenses. They offer convenience. You could renew your prescription and reorder your brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. No more doctor's offices or waiting rooms. They offer speed. The vision test is self-guided and takes less than 5 minutes. Think of how much time you save compared to making an appointment, getting to the eye doctor, taking time off, etc. Reliability is designed by doctors and licensed ophthalmologists to review every test carefully to make sure your eyes look healthy and that your vision hasn't changed. And choice. Simple Contacts offers all the brands of lenses you're familiar with, including options for astigmatism, multifocal lenses, color contacts, and more. As well as support, Simple Contacts customer support ensures every customer is 100% satisfied. You get text updates on your order, and you can ask questions or reorder via text anytime. And savings. The vision test is only $20. Compare that to an annual appointment, which without insurance could cost you over $200. The contact lens prices are unbeatable. Standard shipping is free. And best of all, we're offering a promotion to our listeners. That's right, you guys, MMA Roasted listeners. Yes, all you gotta do is voice a $30 offer with promo code
my code. Just go to simplecontacts.com/my code or enter my code at checkout. That's simplecontacts.com/my code or enter my code at checkout. Check out this stuff. You need contact lenses. This is the place to go. Oh, and by the way, this is not a replacement for your periodic full eye health exam. You got to get that as well. So, check it out. SimpleContacts.com.
So now the UFC calls, right?
Yeah. After that, and fought Sarah McMahon. And like, fuck, talk about being nervous. I was like out of my mind.
Yeah, this was another big change also. So like literally the entire time that we lived in Florida. So we go from Alaska to Florida, right? Just thinking general state.
Yeah.
Oh, there's going to be so many places to drain when we get down there. There's going to be huge MMA schools. There is fucking nothing.
We're in Florida.
Panama City.
We're in northern Florida. So we're basically in Alabama.
Yeah.
So we get there and there's nothing. It's like a vacation.
So you went into that fight with Sarah with no training?
No. I would go to Houston to train.
With the Black Beast?
I did meet him, yeah. I did meet him while I was out there, but our coach from Alaska had moved to Houston.
And what team were you at this point?
Gracie Baja Katie, which is where Sage Northcutt trained.
So it was you and Sage?
Me and Sage did train a couple times together, but at that point, like I think he was going to school or
he
something.
He was four.
Yeah.
He was really tiny.
And you breastfed him.
She's done the drugs.
Yeah right. Like, hey, Mrs. Lauren.
Yeah, so I went to Gracie Baja Katie, and I would train there, and I would live out in Houston, and like rented a room from somebody. I slept on the floor.
Is there any pro fighters in this camp?
No.
No.
Oh, God.
It was still a really good camp, though, because like just the guys were all really nice, and like
yeah, but
it was
you're fighting a fucking Olympic bronze silver medalist in wrestling.
This was all the Invicta fights.
Yeah, so for all my Invicta fights, I trained in Houston.
Houston, okay. But so now, so you get the call. Oh, now you're fighting a Muay Thai god, and you're and you're training with Steve from fucking Houston.
Exactly.
And
Steve from Houston's fucking badass. So.
I'm sure he's great. So now you go. Now you get the call for the UFC.
Mm-hmm. That's when we made the move.
When we moved to Arizona.
It's Arizona.
Joe got out of the military, and we were like, okay, we can go anywhere in the U.S. I'm going to be in the UFC. Like, where do we want
any money saved up? Joe has money.
Joe had money.
Joe has some money.
That's the recurring theme.
Now with Lauren, Lauren's got to be, I mean, she's got to be amazing in bed, right? Because she's got so many problems. Like,
we have a lot of daddy issues.
Yes.
Working out.
So you're just like, you seem like a pretty normal guy. I mean, you're a fighter. You have some problems, but with her.
In comparison, I have zero issues.
Yeah, you have zero problems, but you're in love.
Dude, sometimes me and Joe will just be trying to have a normal conversation. And it's like black talking to white. Like, totally. And it's not like mean. We don't argue, but he just cannot see what I'm talking about. And I cannot understand how he's so fucking normal.
Yeah.
Like, he can't understand.
Opposite the track.
Yeah.
Bloody
yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, a needle for sewing or for my arm.
Or like when people do drugs, like if we're watching a movie where somebody's doing drugs, our reactions to that are so completely different.
If I see a needle, I cringe.
I'm like, look at this guy fucking up his life. And she's like, oh, he feels so good, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
or I'll be like, this fucking idiot's leaving his drugs with this other guy. He's gonna do all his drugs.
And Joe's good, it's gone.
Yeah, Joe's like, no, they're friends. I'm like, nah, nobody's friends when you're doing drugs.
Wow. Yeah, no, I have a very close family member. One of my siblings has that kind of issues, and I'm gonna tell her to listen to this. So now you fight Sarah, and that was a very close fight. In fact, when I watched it, I thought you were going to get the decision.
Thanks.
Now that fight, that has to be a huge confidence booster for you.
No, it really destroyed my confidence, actually. Like, I spent probably my first 2 years at the lab, like, just really getting beat up. And, like, my confidence was kind of in the toilet. I felt like I was no good. I thought, like, I was never good, you know. And it was hard for me to move to the lab because, like you saw on Saturday, everybody there is so fucking good. Everybody's in great shape. They're all doing fucking awesome shit all the time. And like,
guys you've never heard of, the amateurs on that team
are amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I showed up to the lab I mean, look, I was 8-0. I had 6 finishes. I was signed to the UFC. I had been ranked in the top 10. I was the Invicta champion. Like, I had all these accolades, and I showed up, and I got the shit kicked out of me every fucking day. And
by the guys?
By the guys. Jocelyn, too. Like, Jocelyn was on that team, and, like, I was a little better on the ground, and I could wrestle, and her stand-up was way better than mine. And so, like, we would have these rounds, like, standing, she would always beat me, and then, like, on the ground, I could usually get her. But still, it's like...
Now, how are you and Crouch getting along? Do you guys click right away?
Yeah, I liked Crouch right away, and we got along really well. I mean, we've had our ups and downs, but we've been together 4 years now.
He has, so like, a father figure. Like, yeah. I remember, yes, even watching yesterday, there was somebody that was very new to the game. It was a couple low, and he was like, he was tired, and Crouch was like, this is what you got to get used to. This is it. This is the, like, now's the first day of the rest. And I'm like, wow, this is a good coach. This is a very motivated. This is the guy who I would want to have as a coach. You know, I like his style, and I just, he has like a very nurturing, yet he doesn't bullshit you.
Right. Yeah. You know, and for me, like we're joking about daddy issues, but like I do have like some daddy issues, and Crouch is like an older dude that I can look to kind of as a father figure, you know? And so
does he know you, any of your story at all? Does he look into you? I mean, when you came there, or was he just like, who's this?
Yeah,
girl.
When I came there, like, he kind of knew who I was. I think he was surprised because he thought I would be better, you know? And so he was like, wow, like, you have some things you need to work on. And then as we got to know each other, he kind of heard more and more of my story, I think. And, like, we've become friends. I'm really good friends with his wife.
But I don't understand, like, that fight with Sarah McMahon, who Sarah, at that point, I think, had already fought Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, that was her only loss.
And was such a good fighter, and you come so close to beating her, if not beat her.
Yeah.
You were disappointed?
Here's the thing that, like, nobody really realizes, Adam, is that loss in the UFC is the first loss that Lauren's experienced.
Like, ever.
Oh, so the right.
She never even played fucking high school basketball, man, or, like, been on.
Yeah, or like, even Duck Duck Goose or something. Yeah, so, okay, so then you go against Kermouche, right? Yeah.
And I now, was, like, excited for that fight. I was like, I'm going to win. I'm going to be in the top 10. Like, this is it. Like, I'm here.
Now, I thought you won that fight.
Yeah,
I now, beef. But Kermouche, I mean, you look at Kermouche, and I feel like a fucking the biggest pussy in the world when I see that girl. I'm just like, now, when you lock up with her, do you notice, like, I am with a very, very, a stronger person? Is it intimidating? Do you feel like you're being big brothered?
Not till the end. Because I felt like the whole fight, when we would get in the clinch, I felt like I was winning. And so I was like, fucking, this is surprising. Like, didn't think this was going to happen. And then every time, like, we went to the ground a couple times, and I was usually on top. In the third round, at the very end, I shot for, like, kind of a shitty takedown, and I grabbed her leg, and it was trying to move. I felt like I was trying to move a tree trunk. Yeah. I was like, her leg is not fucking moving. Oh, shit. And then she ended up getting on top, and it was like, it felt like a brick was on top of me. But it was like the last minute of the fight, and it was the only time in the fight I felt like I lost. But that's, you know, that's the way it goes. Kermouche is a beast, and she's gotten better, I think, since then. So.
Then you go up against Kelly Fischels.
Yeah.
And that fight, it seemed like all the anger and rage.
Every daddy issue.
Every daddy issue. Every failed marriage you've had so far.
All one of them, yeah.
Everything was, I mean, you beat the shit out of that girl, especially with elbows.
Well, I was like, after
that
the Kermouche fight.
That was supposed to be Sarah Morris.
Sarah Morris, yeah. Oh, yeah, Kelly came in as like a last minute replacement. But I just remember thinking, like, man, the fight with Sarah, I didn't think it was very good. The fight with Kermouche was horrible. It was horribly boring. And, like, I'm never going to have another fight like that. No matter what happens, we are having a good goddamn fight, you know? And so that was really the only thing on my mind. And I think that's why it turned out so good, is because I was like, no matter what, it's not going to be boring. And it turned out to be a really exciting fight. Felt good to get the win. Like, I was still kind of disappointed, though. Like, I don't know. She took the fight on really short notice.
Whatever.
Still really tough fight.
Lauren, you got it. You got it. One day, you know, like I, you know, I've had an acting coach. You say, leave yourself alone. That's what she always tell me. Quit beating yourself up. Start cheering yourself on. You know, like, I think you could benefit from that.
Give me that guy's number.
And then you fight Caitlin.
Yeah.
Now, Caitlin... I thought you were going to... I'm like, oh, Caitlin's in trouble. Who is this girl?
Right, that's what I thought, too.
But then I was like... I started looking into her, and I'm like, oh, shit. She's this karate champion.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know that she had, like... She had, like, 30 amateur boxing fights or something. I didn't know that going in. Like, her footwork is super good. I didn't know that. Like, I just thought, like, okay, like, here's this new girl. Let's do this.
We just
kind of
looked her up, thought she looked a little soft, and, like...
Yeah, but, like, we'd seen a couple of her fights, and...
I was really surprised by that, by her speed.
Yeah. Yeah,
and she's I think really that, fast. And that's what gave you a little issues, right?
Yeah, her
and
speed.
Her technique. She's very
just,
elusive.
Yeah, she's good at like stick and move. And I just could not. I couldn't get my hands on her. I couldn't. Yeah.
Now, are you getting better at dealing with losses after that? Are you not killing yourself, or are you still?
we got the yeah. I tried that one was hard. I actually started seeing a sports psychologist, and like that's helped a lot, I think. And then just having more time in the sport and being accustomed to being an athlete more and dealing with wins and losses without it being so high and so low. Like Sarah McMahon is actually a really good person to look up to for that.
Oh,
kind
she's
of
the
stuff.
Best. Yeah. She's so sweet,
so,
too.
Like, however our fight went, like, I really look up to Sarah quite a bit. And when I follow her on Instagram or, like, see when she posts stuff, like, I fucking pay attention to what she's saying.
She's got one crazy story, too.
She's got a
oh,
crazy
God.
Story.
Yeah.
She's been through a lot, and the way she competes and her mindset about competing.
And she's got a kid.
So
she's a single mom. And now, although she's got a great boyfriend now, I met him. He's such a nice guy. Now, I always ask the girls, like, after the guys lose to their wives, do they like lie him down and give him blowjobs? And now, is that what happens here, Joe?
I'll do anything I can to put a smile on her face.
Oh, good. That's a good guy right there.
Yeah.
I oh, good. So. Nice. That's a very good husband right there. So now you go on the Ultimate Fighter, right? And the Ultimate Fighter for you, I gotta think is a hard experience because you're such a nice and personable and kind person and a good person and competitive. And you know, you go out there, and I'm like, okay, you and Eddie are gonna click. I know Eddie Alvarez. I he's a Philly guy. He's a tough dude. Well, like, oh, there's no way that he's gonna love you. Why wouldn't you? Who wouldn't love you? But then the loss happens, right? You lose a fight that I think you should have won. That like you think you should. I thought you should have won the judges, but that 9 out of 10 times you fight that girl, I think you get the win.
Right.
But you know that girl's tough, and I think that it must have been hard for you being the only one with the UFC experience, being in a house.
For sure.
You know,
super embarrassing. Like, I was really embarrassed. I was like, I don't, you know, and I don't know. Eddie and I, it's not really that. We just kind of have opposing personalities, I think. And in that environment, like if we were in a different environment, Eddie and I would probably get along fine, where we could maybe get away from each other or we're not so dependent on one another.
Yeah.
Like I'm depending on Eddie to fucking be my coach, which for me is a big role in my life, probably because I have daddy issues, you know?
Right.
And then like for him, like he's depending on his fighters.
Maybe that should be your nickname, daddy issues.
Lauren, yeah, it's actually been brought up. So
I think daddy issues would be hilarious. I think, honestly, if you go out next fight as Lauren, daddy issues
Murphy,
I guarantee people would be like, you would be a lot more, I hate to say it, but
they'd be expecting a whole lot more stripper pictures.
I swear to God, you should do that.
I'm going to need some more stripper.
But you'd have a lot more. You'd have a lot more fans. I honestly think Daddy Issues should be your name.
What if I was Barb Daddy Issues Murphy?
Maybe that's. I think that's too inside. I'm telling you, Lauren Daddy Issues. So then you lose, and I agreed with you. I'm like, listen, Eddie Alvarez, give the girl a fucking break. She just went on national television. She lost a fight. And it's not like she's got a fight coming up the next day. Like,
and that's really like where it kind of came to a head. Because I think we were a little annoyed with each other before that. And then when I lost and I didn't come in the next morning, he like kind of blew up. I knew he kind of blew up. And then it just caused so much tension with me, with the rest of the girls on the team, especially with me and him. And like I'm an emotional person for one thing. But secondly, like, if I'm pissed, you know. If I'm happy, you know. If like anything that I'm feeling, fucking everybody knows.
Yeah. No, I was totally with you on that. I wasn't with you on not getting off the bike when that girl had to lose weight. Yeah. At the same time, I mean, she did have an hour, and that was her bike. That
was. Wasn't.
Okay.
It wasn't her bike.
That's the only one where I'm like, you know what? I can. But you know what? I lived in a house before with 15 comics on Last Comic Standing.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that when you're, it was the longest I went without doing comedy because I'm in the house 30 days with the most annoying fucking people in the world and camera crews and producers and everyone telling you this and that and taking sound bites and wondering what they're going to use and what they're not going to use and how they're going to manipulate
it. Exactly.
So, and all of a sudden you start getting in your head and you start saying things that you wouldn't fucking say. And I understand. Like it's insane.
Yeah,
and like you who've been in rehab for 2 fucking years, it probably brings you back to there in some.
It did
bizarre.
In some ways. I was like, I feel like I'm back in rehab because it is like actually pretty similar.
So I was like hoping that the girl wouldn't make weight and that you.
That's
but
what
I even
was
took
hoping,
to my wife. I'm like, Lauren should get out of the truck.
Yeah, I felt like kind of bad, but like when it was happening, I was like, I don't think she's gonna make weight. And then she did miss, and I talked to what's that coach's name? Trevor Whitman was there, and I was like, I don't know, I kind of want to get on the bike, but like, I'm afraid, like, what if she comes back in? And Trevor Whitman was like, do you want a chance at the belt? And I was like, well, yeah. And he was like, do you think that if like she wins, is she gonna send you a fucking like house payment? Like, for thanking you.
They should have put that on. If they would have put that on TV, then 1,000% everyone would have been like.
Everybody would have been on my side. I was that's a really good point. And the cameras are there filming this, but they don't put it on TV. So
they should have put that on
TV. I was like, no, she's not going to fucking send me a house payment. He was like, look, this is a competition. She missed weight. If you want to get back in, like, if you want back in the competition, you need to not give a fuck what anybody thinks and get on that fucking bike.
And it wasn't like. Completely unfeasible either. It's not like Lauren was sitting.
She missed weight again. She missed weight for the finals.
And Lauren didn't have far to go.
Like, I only had like a pound. I think I had 2 pounds to cut.
Right. No, so I could totally see it.
I was like, all right. I knew what it would be like. I knew it was going to look bad. I knew that people were going to hate it. I was like, this is going to fucking like ruin my whole image or whatever. But like, what if at that time I didn't know if she was going to make weight? I was like, what if she misses?
No, I get it. And you're competitive, and it's all good. And the other thing
they didn't show, and I love this that they didn't show this, is that Sajara, she fucking missed weight. How did I know she was going to miss weight? I knew because she would go to bed every night, and she would get a cup with peanut butter, and she would put chocolate chips in it, and then she would get pretzels, and she would eat the fucking peanut butter and chocolate chips with a pretzel as a spoon every night.
Yeah,
and it's like, of course you're gonna fucking miss weight, dipshit. Look at what you're eating.
Were you feeding her those food? Were you?
I did leave some muffins out every once in a while, and fucking she would eat them though. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you all living in the same house. Like, I would cook up a steak, and then I would leave it out, and she would walk by and have some. Like, yeah, you're gonna fucking hilarious. Miss weight. Like, it's not my fault you're undisciplined.
She's sleeping, you know? And you put on the Food Network.
Like, putting sugar around her lips and stuff.
That's awesome.
Putting like sugar in her water bottle.
I love it. I love it. She's going down on her girlfriend. All of a sudden, there's like cake in there.
But it's like, man, like if you can't even be disciplined enough to like watch your diet.
She didn't make the finale. I mean, the point is, like, that just shows you that, like, I mean, this was a once in a lifetime thing that would have changed her life. The girl was 2-2 going to the house.
Exactly.
Look, I'm here to say it too, man. I can't believe that she's even still on the roster.
Yeah, I think they should have cut her when she missed weight for the finale.
That's still the ultimate fighter.
And also, like, the fucking people that spent 10 weeks watching that fucking show. Yeah. And get, I'm like, now I feel like I'm cheated because I've invested in her and her story, and now it's like, if you don't give a fuck about this, how the hell am I supposed to care? But exactly. You know, look, so here we are today we beat Barbara Honchak, who's like the number 3 girl. Now you're what, number 2?
I'm ranked number 2, and Sajara's fucking ranked number 1, though she's never even fucking made 125. She's never even fought in the UFC yet.
Sahara, whatever. Hopefully she'll make weight. Hopefully you guys will fight. Because you know, have they offered you a fight yet? Or
no? I just talked to my manager the other day, and he said that they're gonna hopefully book us for like April or May. Not us, but me. Like, us from the show is probably gonna all get booked around the same time again.
That's great. And where can people follow you?
At Lauren Murphy MMA. That's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Yeah, come follow me, find me, hit me up, talk to me, say hi.
I love your story. Joe, you're a great guy. I love this couple. Give my best to Max. And you have two dogs, too?
We have two dogs, yeah. So Connor.
Connor's not doing so hot, so send your thoughts out to Connor.
It was an honor to have you. And,
thank you so much, man.
And you have a great, it's brightened my day, so thank you. And guys, next week, I will be in Seattle at the Comedy Underground in Seattle, following week at Calgary, at the Comedy Cave in Calgary. Thank you guys so much. Have a great life. Trap, sons, and trap, don't sons, trap, don't sons, trap. Түүний сонс тө хөгжим дөр болаа. Таа дэс дотан дөр болаа.